Off the ball. Rugby.
Sevens was for your early 20s.
We ever tempted?
Couldn't have thought of anything worse. First of all, my engine was not my strong point. It would have had to be in those very early years.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball. Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Right, 8:29. Sarah Dunham, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, lads.
Let's start with the sports. Right?
Sure.
Unfortunately, we're not talking about the games this weekend straight off the bat. We're talking about the sports where I did see, was it Marcus Obukla going, does anybody understand exactly why anybody voted against this? Was there a reason given? There must have been a debate. Somebody somewhere thought it was a good idea to vote against the women who had come up with the plan for what they wanted. And I would like to hear, I'm not asking you to pretend, but do you have any idea why somebody would vote against replacing?
So London, yeah, look, London brought the motion forward. Then Tipperary tried to bring the motion forward. And 64% of the 150 delegates present at Congress voted against it. Now, there's in the region of 100,000 registered camogie players in the country. I was training an under-16 team last night. There was 27 girls. A straw poll of those 27 girls, every single one of them would reject playing in a skirt over a pair of shorts. That is the brass tacks. That is the facts. And everyone always says you have to be in the boardroom to make these decisions, right? I can't be in the boardroom if I'm training 27 under-16 camogie players. So I need the delegates that are representing me at Congress to listen to me. And they just aren't. That is the fundamental fact here. They're not listening to the players.
Do they have any rationale behind... Like, again, I'm not asking you to... What do they say? What's their reason for this?
I think it is a fear of change. And I genuinely mean that. Everything that the Camogie Association have been pushed into doing over the last number of years has been forced on them by commercialism, because the LGFA has been so progressive and so forward-thinking that the Camogie Association have reacted at all points. And they've been very lucky to get incredible sponsors over the last number of years who've looked to bring them into the 21st century. But they're afraid of modernity. They genuinely are. It's 120 years of Camogie history and they're still holding on to something that was invented in the late 1800s.
Did somebody stand up at Congress, do we know, and say, no, this is a bad idea, offering women choice, down with choice. We don't want the women getting the choice. Did somebody
The way these motions are put forward is that, you know, in the weeks leading into it, you have to email in, you have to make your point. Tipperary and London made very valid points. London actually offered for the skirt to be retained, but the shorts to be an option. Which was, you know, on balance, a fair thing to do. Tipperary said, lads, pull yourselves into the 21st century. Let's give the girls what they want. And they turned that down overwhelmingly, 64%. It was 55-45% for the London motion of retention of the skirt and option of shorts.
The only thing bananas I could think of was that in ladies' football, they wear shorts, that the Camogie Association want a point of difference that you know instantly when you look at a camogie player. Ignore the hurling the helmet there. That this is a camogie player representing Cork rather than
a brilliant ladies marketing footballer. You're saying
that this separates us from other sports.
As you said, put the nail on the head. I have a helmet on. I have a hurley in my hand. It is very clear I'm not playing ladies football. The differentiation is not required. It's a real sad state of affairs. I think the AFL in Australia has been brilliant in terms of the way they've adapted to how women play sport. I don't walk into a gym, lads, and look to wear a skirt to train. You know, in all the years I've trained on a pitch, I've never worn a skirt to training. The only time I am forced into a skirt is for 60 minutes of a camogie match. And that is ridiculous.
Is there any sense that actually this might somehow inspire an outbreak of player power where they just decide, no,
we're
not doing
shorts.
It. Yeah.
I can't see that happening. And we don't get a change again until 2027. There just isn't. Yeah. 2027 is the next time this debate is up for debate.
So GPA, go on strike. We're not doing it. Screw you. You weren't listening to us. And it shows you're not listening to us about loads of other things when this tiny thing, which actually is not that important at all, we're not playing. Let's see how you
GPA,
get on.
Yeah, I think the GPA represents like 2,500 players. The other 90,000 players in the country are going to be kids between 12 and 18 whose moms are going to say, will you not just wear the skirt and just get on with it? You know,
well, that's where people, you need a bit of leadership, isn't it? Because the 2,500 players are the ones who most of the attention is on, who are going to be on our TV screens, that if the change is seen there, it'll move down through the ranks very quickly. And as you say, like, there's two things going on here. There's the initial thing where I would have thought, I know you're saying 2027, that the players come out and say, actually, no, this is what we want. We're not doing it. Talk to the GPA. But that bigger picture that you touched on of, well, actually, you're not listening to the players. It's clear from this, from something as small as this, if they're not listening around this, what else are they not listening to?
A lot. A lot. Look, I am blue in the face from talking about this. This came up in 2021. I think it's every 3 years we get to have this debate, and it will be coming up again in 2027, and you will see women in skirts until 2027. Now, I will say this, in the 120-year history of the Camogie, we've just ratified our first male president at the weekend. So perhaps he might bring some sense to the equation. And isn't that quite a sad thing to have to say?
It's a tricky old situation for him to be walking in going, I didn't vote for this. This is... It's not my.
Brian Malloy, I tip my hat to you. The very best of luck with the delegates that are currently in Congress.
Croke Park on Sunday, there's a triple header. Is this a harbinger of things to come with integration, do you think?
Yeah, Gerard Burns made that point when he was discussing the triple header. So we have Derry West Meath at 12:30. We have Galway and Tip at 2:30. And then we have Dublin and Meath in the Leinster Football Championship at 4:30. So really, really positive. Sometimes at the end of Camogie finals, the Croke Park Stadium can feel like a graveyard. This will be the opposite. You'll have Dublin rolling in. You'll have Meath rolling in. The hill filling up. You know, I think this is going to be a real energy for the girls, certainly playing the Tip and Galway game in the last 20 minutes, to see people coming in rather than leaving for their game.
Tipperary are a coming force over the last number of years, perhaps somewhat interrupted by COVID, didn't get the opportunity to play in a final that they should have. Have they improved enough for people to think that they're genuine All-Ireland contenders? Do they need a victory this weekend to prove to people and to themselves that maybe they are?
I agree with you on that. I think you can't deny their form. They've beaten Galway, Kilkenny and Cork in this National League campaign. They actually lost to Waterford in the first round. Bit of a surprise because I thought they would be out and gunning for Waterford after Waterford stole their thunder last July to reach the All-Ireland final. But they recovered from that first loss to Waterford and then they bet the three big guns, you know? So I think, interestingly, from Galway's point of view, Tipperary beat them by 3 points, and Carrie Dolan made the point that Tip also beat Galway by 9 points in a game a couple of years ago. So Tip have the beating of Galway. It's just to see if they can do it in Croke Park on Sunday. And Galway are going for their fifth consecutive National League title, or final in a row.
we know, I think, how seasoned Galway are and what their qualities are. And, you know, if things break right for them, they're going to be contenders. How do Tipperary establish themselves as a team that we take seriously at that level when they've had a setback like last year where they were favourites against Waterford?
As I said, I think the key for them is proving that they can go 60 minutes against a top team in a game that matters. So Sunday's game, a couple of key players here. Coitavan isn't available for Tipperary until May. She was their all-star. Mary Ryan is back for her 20th season with Tip, which is a big bonus. But they've been relying in the league on new players. And certainly Emer McGrath scored 3-7 against Galway in the round two league game. That was a big, big turnaround. I don't know if Emer McGrath is going to get the opportunity to score 3-7 against Galway again. I think she'll be very much tied down. So Tipperary are going to have to look for other players to make an impression. That's a big ask in Croke Park. But what I would say is they played Antrim in Croke Park last year in the quarterfinal. So it's not like they've been out of Croke Park for a decade. They did get the chance to play there last year. They do have that experience. But they will be required to win this game for people to take them seriously for the championship.
And where are Galway with regards to their development and evolution at the moment? Because, you know, they've been there, thereabouts, and probably feel like they haven't had as much success as they could have had.
Oh, they're a stunning team. I love to watch Galway play. I think last year's All-Ireland semi-final against Cork was scintillating. And it was a funny game in that Galway felt that they didn't get, I suppose, the bounce of the ball. They thought the referee was quite harsh on them. This time around against Cork, Cork's indiscipline actually showed up and Carrie Dolan hit 10 points. And they won that game by a goal, knocking out Cork. I think they have a point to prove, but I suppose they're kind of playing the long game here. Look, they've won a lot of National League titles over the past 5 years. Their eye is on the All-Ireland and, you know, adding a player like Niamh Mallon. So Niamh Mallon has come in from Down. She's working in Galway. If there was a player that I could parachute into my team, it would be Niamh Mallon. So for Galway to have the quality that they have and to have now added Niamh Mallon, serious, serious talking point for championship. And also boosted by seven-time All-Star Niamh Kilkenny. She had a little, had a son last year, was sat out the championship and is now back for Galway. So I kind of feel sorry for Tip. They've got so much going for them, but Galway are just adding firepower to this team.
It's always good when Cork people feel sorry for Tip, isn't it?
I think I had to say that Waterford were going to lose to Cork by more than six last year, and this Galway team could do that to Tip.
Right. When you talk about their success at league level Galway, they've obviously had success at All-Ireland level as well, but the last couple of years they haven't. So where are you in terms of what they've achieved, this Galway team? Are they where they should be in terms of silverware, or should they have won more?
That's a hard question, because I think there's such a little difference between Cork, Kilkenny and Galway, because you'd make the point if Galway had won the last two, Kilkenny and Cork have the same level of talent that they had kind of, I suppose, lost a step. There's so little between the three. Players leaving changes a team dramatically. So you look at Kilkenny, the Denise Gall is in Australia, right? That's changed their team dramatically. Cork, I don't think Laura Trace is available for them this year. That's changed their team dramatically. And all of a sudden, Galway look like the team who should be winning this All-Ireland at a canter.
That's interesting, because obviously no one's won anything at the canter in recent years. In terms of when everything kicks into gear, what's the turnaround here for these teams, and how quickly will they need to refocus on what's coming next?
Look, this National League has been a bit sleepy, if I'm being honest. It's kind of crept up on us. The games have been played practically under the cover of darkness. It was it's been hard to, I suppose, get excited about it, but the stories are there. So I think the Munster Championship actually is going to be played. There's some great double headers going to take place alongside the Men's Hurling Championship. So you will get to see the games this year as precursors to the men games. And then the championship will kick off middle of June. So there is a bit of downtime. But the Leinster Championships, the Munster Championships will be positive, because they'll be played at the same time as the men's games.
And you were 100% in favour of that?
Oh, as double headers with the lads games?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the best scenario for integration.
How do you feel the whole integration conversation is going at the moment?
It depends on which club you're involved with. My own club in Ballygarvan now is opting for a one club model. So there's camogie nights, there's hurling nights, there's football nights. Everyone has to be accounted for. We're all paying membership. I think it's a really positive step, and I understand that some clubs won't have, I suppose, the same level of flexibility that our club has, but I've seen clubs in Dublin be very efficient, and I think it's important that the associations now catch up with the clubs at ground level, because the clubs are ahead of the associations at this point.
Yeah, that's the kind of key bit, isn't it? That there's still some people who obviously did come through the club system but now are wearing county board or association hats and seem for whatever reason to be kind of slow to get on the train, it feels like.
And I don't understand why you wouldn't want to make the family as big as it can be. You know, there's a real positivity here in myself and my brother heading down to the pitch and, you know, training on opposite sides of the field. Families are the heart of this community, and you can't separate them. And if the lads are getting preferential treatment, it makes it very difficult for families to support both sides. So I think it's important that at association level now, everyone gets on board as quickly as they can, because I said I can't be more positive about what the clubs are doing. They're really trying to row in here and get this done as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I just kind of wonder where all the stories of the, oh, it's really expensive to run an inter-county team. Geez, we can't be paying the women. I'm like, why is that the argument here? And it bubbles up. It's like it's being briefed. It feels like, oh, that's the biggest thing here is the money is going to be the problem. It's like, well, where there's a will, there's a way. Let's get the will established and then let's work out what we need to do afterwards.
I think that's probably why the GPA are so important in this, because they have, as you said earlier, the lion's share of this, the power in terms of the visibility of the players on the pitch. Camogie players, ladies footballers, hurlers, they understand the money involved. They understand what it is to bring it across the three sports, and they have to lead it. And they may lead the Camogie Association and the ladies football and the GAA kicking and screaming into a boardroom. But if the players are, you know, front and centre here and they're playing on the pitch, I think that's why the GPA are going to be so important in this integration, and they certainly can't take a step back.
It's very interesting to see that the March Madness, the women's basketball, outrated the men's basketball for the first time in history. And it's like proper coverage, teams of equal standing, a well-run, people just want to watch good quality sport. It's maybe we're starting to catch up with that.
I understand that there's a skill level deficit in ladies football and Camogie, in the sense that it's not as attractive a game as hurling or GA in terms of men's football at the moment. But we're coming at this from a much, I suppose, we've had way less opportunity.
A purposefully suppressed base. That's what
I think. Nora Stapleton made that point, and I agree with her. But we're catching up fast. So if you give them a chance, I think there'll be some real quality in the next number of years on our TV screens and on the pitches.
Maybe it just needs that Caitlin Clark style breakout star. We've had it in football. We've had it with Katie McCabe becoming that superstar, and sort of
Amy Mackin.
Everything comes with it. So who, you know, we just need that person.
Yeah.
I think you've had those players over the years. I think Tommy Walsh alluded to that. Tommy Walsh could name probably 20 Camogie players that have impressed him, you know, over the last two decades. It's probably just that our Camogie Association hasn't been to the fore in terms of promoting those players. There's a real sense of, oh, she's won enough. Sit back from the table. And that's the truth.
You can't
get too big for your boots.
You'd be sceptical, except they've just not listened to the players when it comes to the sports issue. And you're kind of going, oof. But that means it's a big opportunity, and it means that the growth can be really, it can be explosive over the next couple of years. So hopefully this weekend and the Dublin triple headers we're going to see over the course of the summer introduce a whole new audience, and they stick with it and the coverage improves, etc. Last point, Colm Galvin was on this very show last Monday after the league hurling final, and there was just a sense that Clare people have at the moment that there's a vulnerability in Limerick which isn't just going to be in the round robin, that they might be about to get got.
I agree. And you know why? I think the absence of Darragh O'Donovan is going to be crucial in these first two games. He's out with a calf injury. I think he, Dan Morrissey and Aaron Gillan were the three players last year. Tom Morrissey in the league, but those three players last year dragged Limerick through to the All-Ireland series. And without Darragh O'Donovan, Limerick can be got at.
On that note, we have a whole week of build-up for this. Sarah, good stuff. Thanks a million.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
It's Sarah Donovan there.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.